Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great feast. I'm really excited to be taking up new pastoral responsibilities, not only for Northern Virginia, but also for the Columbia, Maryland congregation after the feast. So pray for me. Anyway, I do have to tell you a joke. Mr. Heine talked a little bit in Spanish in the first lit sermon, and moi, je parle français, so I do want to have a shout out to any French-speaking people looking either on the telecast or here today. And I do have to tell you that after a great deal of research, I've learned what the language is going to be in the world tomorrow. And of course, some people think it's English, some people Hebrew, but I can assure you it's French. And the reason I know this is because French is the language of love and food, and what else do you need? Okay. Brethren, God is creating a large family with eventually millions upon millions of spirit-born children. Having children, raising children, and helping those children develop talents and abilities is always on God's mind. When Jesus walked the earth about 2,000 years ago, he had an inclusive approach to children, whom the religious establishment of that day viewed as almost beneath notice. Jesus showed children his individual attention and blessed them. Our children and teens are in God's mind even now. Children, teens, Jesus has a plan for your life both now and in the millennium. Today we will see that, number one, Jesus is preparing a safe and enjoyable environment for young children in the millennium. Number two, he has a plan for teens and all those who seek him. And number three, in the millennium, that plan includes rebuilding cities where joy and prosperity will be the norm. So I would like to ask the children ages 2 through 12, would you please stand? Please stand. I would like to see who I'm going to be talking to. Yes. Also in the overflow room, I have angels over there looking. So standing up, can you wave your hands? Okay, great. Yeah, look around. There's a fair number of children here. Wonderful. Thank you so much. You can sit down. Thank you. We're so happy to see you and have you here with us today. And we hope you'll be making many more friends at this feast. So, children, what are some changes in the millennium that will bring about a safe and enjoyable environment for you children? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, very famous passage. But it's so meaningful, so colorful. Isaiah 11 and verse 6, it says, "The wolf at that time also shall dwell with the lamb." So now they're enemies. Now the wolf wants to kill and eat the lamb. Well, no, in the world tomorrow, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb peacefully. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. So this is something you will be able to do, children. You'll be able to lead these animals together and play with them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Well, that's going to have to take some change, you know, because if the lion eats straw and he doesn't have a different digestive system, he would probably starve pretty soon. But we understand that there will be DNA transformations that will change digestive systems of animals, and predators will no longer have that wild, ferocious nature. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, a very venomous, dangerous snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There'll be no violence in the mountain of God. Safety for young people. Now, in the millennium, we do understand that accidents could still happen, and that will be there to teach cause and effect. But the knowledge of God and Jesus will be everywhere in that millennial future. But now, so when I was a child, I was walking along a shady path, daydreaming in the woods behind my house. And I heard a rattling. I looked down and saw a timber rattlesnake right on the path getting ready to strike. So I jumped nearly as high as heaven over the snake and ran away. Children, we all need to be aware of what is going on around us and potentially dangerous situations today. We need to learn to be aware. That skill is essential now and also in the future. Years ago, I worked at the U.S. Embassy in Yaoundé, Cameroon, in Africa. We had a nice house with a wall enclosing a big yard. So we felt it safe to let our 2-year-old son go out and play in the yard. One day, we saw our handyman, Peter, out striking a branch of a tree in the yard where our son was playing. So I asked Peter, what was he doing? He said, there was a poisonous snake, a mamba, on the branch getting ready to drop on our son. So he was bringing it down so he could kill it, so our son could be safe. I look forward to the time when snakes will no longer be a danger to children. In God's kingdom, you will be able to play outside without fear of animals. No shark attacks in the water. No poisonous snakes. No alligators coming out of a pond to snatch you away. Today, we need to be careful around animals. But in the millennium, there will be great peace and safety. In God's kingdom, children, most likely, your life will probably be largely out of doors, running, playing, growing in strength, with opportunities to learn, satisfy your curiosity about living things like butterflies, birds, colorful fish, trees, flowers. You will also learn what causes clouds, lightning, and the rain. Children, do you like colorful jewels? Do you like rubies, sapphires, gems? Let's go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 11. This is one of those prophecies of that coming world tomorrow, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And it starts out reminding us that there will be some difficult times. Isaiah 54, verse 11. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. He's talking about the city of Jerusalem where we will live in the world tomorrow. And that city is going to be beautiful with colorful gems and sapphires. I'll make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal clear, your walls of precious stones, diamonds, emeralds, all sorts of really colorful, neat stones. Verse 13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. Jesus will be there, and he will direct the teaching of our children. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Let's go to Proverbs 20 now. Proverbs chapter 20. In Proverbs chapter 20 it says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. So children, your parents get to know you by what you do. And so by what you do, your parents learn, and then they can help you understand how to do things better, be more successful, and whether what you do is pure and right. So in addition to being taught by Jesus, scriptures show us that you children will be taught by other loving, patient teachers the right way to live, to have good deeds, good words, a way of giving, way of serving, helping others, a way of respect and honor, a way of worship of the true God, a love for learning. Yes, great teachers will inspire your progress. Now let's go to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. I'll start in verse 3. Zechariah 8 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And we know that that mountain, yes, it's a symbol for a nation, a country, but we also know it's going to be a physical mountain as well. It's going to be lifted up, and there will be a plain all around from Algeb in the north to Rimon in the south, about 40 miles around. And so there's going to be this beautiful city that can be seen from afar. And so the holy mountain of the Lord. And so what God is going to do, he's going to teach truth in the schools. Like, we all want our schools to teach truth. Well, this is going to be a city of truth, and truth will be taught in the schools. Biology, where did life come from? Was it created, or was it the climb from slime, as some people say? No, it was created. God did this. God's going to teach people physics. How was the universe created? How was it that he defined the laws, so narrowly refined them, so that if there one of these values of electromagnetism or the strong nuclear force or the weak nuclear force, if they're just a little bit off, the universe wouldn't exist? But God did that. He planned it out, and he maintains it by the word of his power. He's going to teach that. He's going to teach the true history of nations. Where did nations come from? Where did they go? And character development will be a top educational priority. Character development. Well, what is godly character? What is godly character? One good definition of godly character is to know the right, choose the right, and do the right. Know the right, choose the right, and do the right. Most of the world right now doesn't know the God of the Bible, doesn't know his ways. So we're going to have to teach and model these things. Choose. Once you know God's law of love, the Ten Commandments, then a person has to choose whether to obey or not. Then do. Know the right, choose the right, and do it, even in the face of temptations or laziness to not do what we know we should do. This is going to be taught in the schools, directed by Jesus Christ and assisted by glorious spirit-born sons and daughters of God. Coming back to Zechariah 8, verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Well, now, don't do that right now. Okay? That's dangerous to play in the streets. But I do think in the world tomorrow, there will be different transportation available than high-velocity vehicles. Children, maybe you will saddle and ride a lion, maybe a zebra. There'll be a lot of different possibilities of things that you can do in that city in the world tomorrow. Verse 6, thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts? Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people. I will be their God in truth and righteousness. How wonderful a time to see Jerusalem. I lived in Jerusalem near Jerusalem for about 4.5 years and worked at the American consulate there. And it's all a jumble on each other now. There's lots of tension. There's lots of strife. But we can look forward to a Jerusalem rebuilt, a glorious city in the world tomorrow in which we will live, in which our children will live and grow. It's going to be a marvelous time. Now let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I'm still talking primarily to the young children. Matthew 18 and verse 2. Matthew 18 and verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Jesus is praising the humility and teachability of children. We must all be humble and teachable like little children. Down in verse 10, it says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. The angels who watch over our children have direct access to God the Father at all times. They don't have a problem with cell phone coverage. You know, they're not sort of tired. They don't look away. If there's an issue with our children, they have direct access to God, and he can make things happen. So children, God loves you. He looks out for you. So don't be silly and provoke God by being careless or knowingly disobedient. But no, God and his angels are there for you. Now let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." I thought over the years, what does that mean? Obviously, we have to receive the kingdom of God joyfully, happily, humbly. And I was just thinking, you know, the time of the birth of more first fruits is very near. I think our Father and Jesus Christ are really excited because that time is drawing near after 13 or more billion years of waiting, making this universe, keeping it going, watching it, working, and now there's thousands of brothers and sisters in Christ who are sleeping, and they're going to be resurrected, and hopefully we also will be resurrected at that same time, right after them, and there will be glorious spirit sons and daughters of God. How excited God must be. So I think we also should receive the kingdom of God, our coming birth as glorious spirit beings with excitement and joy, yes, humility and thankfulness as a little child. Children, Jesus wants a relationship with you. He called the children to him. Some verses show that he picked them up in his arms, blessed them. Jesus wants to hear your prayers to him and your songs of praise and thanksgiving. I am sure the children's choir yesterday, as well as the teen choir today, was really enjoyed by God our Father and Jesus Christ. And again, thank you for the teen choir today. God wants all of us to have the joy and curiosity and wonder of little children in receiving his soon coming kingdom, a time of great wonders, a time of joy and peace and fun. Okay, now I'd like the teens, ages 13 through 18, would you please stand? I know, it's embarrassing. Yes? Okay, yes. Okay, you don't have to wave your hands. I just want to see who you are. And again, I know there's people in the overflow room. Okay, great. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. We appreciate you being here. This is your church. You are an integral part of the church of God. My personal experience of over 50 years in God's church is that living the way of life taught in this church will lead to greater success, health, happiness for you in the years to come. So I would like to talk primarily to you all for a while. Second main point, does God have a plan for you? Yes, for you teens, but for all of us, does God have a plan? Let's go back to Jeremiah 29. We know the holy days give a picture of God's plan for all mankind, and we rejoice in picturing that plan every year. In Jeremiah 29, I'm going to read verses 10 through 14 and then circle back and comment a little bit. Jeremiah 29, starting verse 10. "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place, to Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. So this is a prophecy of the time when ancient Judah was taken away captive from their land because of the sins of the people. And there is something called duality in the application of many prophecies. This means that there was an ancient fulfillment, and then there will be a similar modern fulfillment. We see here that after being oppressed by ancient Babylon, God's people were promised peace and a positive future. In our modern day, there is coming an oppression by a modern Babylonian-type system, which we can read about in Revelation chapters 13 and 18, but we won't turn there for lack of time at this point. And that Babylonian-type system will lead astray the entire world for some years. And God promises to come and destroy that evil, sinful system and deliver all humanity from oppression into the joyful liberty of the kingdom of God. As you know, this is one reason why we are here celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, a glorious time of joyful liberty for humankind. God's Spirit-born glorious children will help in the transformation of the entire world. God did not forget ancient Judah, and he will not forget any of us. I believe this encouraging prophecy can be applied to us today. Let's focus on verses 11 and 12. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Yes, he was addressing the whole nation, but a nation is made up of individuals. And God was thinking about individuals. He wanted to give them a future and a hope. And a future for human beings usually means a profession, a skills, sometimes marriage, maybe children. So he was thinking about these things for the individual so that the nation would be built, so they could have a joyful future and a joyful hope. And then verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Can you imagine? I mean, some people say, well, God knows everything already, so why should I pray? Yes, God knows all that can be known. And he invites us into his presence to present our petitions. And that is a privilege and an honor. And so we can go to God and present our petitions directly to him. Magnificent. He says, I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We can't be half-hearted. We have to be completely wholehearted in our seeking God. Yes, that must be our number one priority. Seek God. Learn about his laws and ways. Learn to think and act like he does. This is a lifelong process for all of us. But God does not want us to hide away and only read the Bible all day, every day. I saw some hermits. You go down from Jerusalem and you go to Wadi Kelt, and there's still an old Greek Orthodox church, and there's, I believe at the time, there was like seven hermits. And they were in caves, and they would come in once a week to get supplies, and then they would go back into their caves all week, and I guess they would pray, and they would read the Bible, and so forth. What kind of impact did those hermits have on anybody? Not much. Does God want us to be hermits, to hide away? I don't think so. God wants us to be able to interact in this world. He wants us to learn useful professions and skills, to be engaged with people around us, to be lights in this world, to do good to others, to make a positive impact on our society. And is it not logical that God would have a plan for each one of us? God has a big picture plan and broad parameters. He gives us lots of choice within his law to do what interests us. Many human parents plan to help their children develop talents and capabilities. My wife and I have four wonderful children. We taught them to love God and his word, and we are so thankful that they do. Building on that foundation, my wife and I thought, well, if we could help each one of them learn one sport well, one musical instrument well, and one trade or job skill, then they could become confident, self-supporting, and contributing members of society. So we gave them opportunities to develop those different capabilities. They all chose different musical instruments. They all did different sports, different job skills. They all have done well. Brethren, how much more does our Father in heaven love each one of you and want you to develop talents and skills so that you can be successful and fulfilled in life? God has distributed talents to each one of us. Each one of you is important to God. Your talents and skills, as you develop them and use them to serve others, will help complete the body of Christ. We need you. We need you to be developing those skills and talents. And you young people, yes, you develop those talents and skills. It's easier when you're young to like learn the piano or learn how to play a sport or something. But yes, we need you to develop those talents and skills. Let's put our time and effort into developing talents under the guidance of the all-wise potter, Jesus Christ and God our Father. So thirdly, God's plan includes rebuilding cities into safe, prosperous places to enjoy life. We know and understand that in the near future, there will be some hard times, and even destruction of perhaps many cities and towns. When Jesus returns and brings peace to this earth, there will be a need for rebuilding, a need for professions like architecture, city planning, utilities management, construction trades. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and the first part of verse 2 is what Jesus read at the beginning of his ministry about 2,000 years ago when he was about 30 years old. And this is what he was going to do at that time. And we know that when he got to the beginning of verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, it says he closed the book, or he closed the scroll and stopped. Because why? Because there's something called a prophetic lapse. There is about 2,000 years between that verse, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the very next phrase, and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God is coming soon. And we continue on. What will God be doing in the very near future? Yes, he will take vengeance on those who destroy the earth. And he will comfort those all who mourn. He will console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And continuing on, verse 4, and they shall rebuild the old ruins. Yes, those who live on into the millennium, our young people, our young adults, will be going back to the Middle East, will be rebuilding a nation. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. That's going to take a lot of work. The millennium is not something like sort of a Disneyland. Jesus returns and poof, everything's perfect, like pixie dust. No, it's going to take effort, planning, hard work, cooperation, working together, building, because isn't that how we learn godly character? By working and having interactions with other people? Why should God train them and teach them any different than what he's doing for us today? So they are going to have to work together to rebuild destroyed cities, destroyed waste places, and there's going to be a need for a variety of skills to have each town become vibrant, interesting, and alive. Let's go back to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 17, again talking about some of the skills that will be needed in the world tomorrow. Isaiah 41 verse 17, the poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. Again, they can go direct to God, to Jesus Christ, and present their petitions. They're thirsty. He will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers and desolate heights, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. So we can see right there there's going to be need for water management skills. Perhaps we'll have to have dams. There'll be places where we can collect the water and then distribute the water. Verse 19, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. So we can see there will be lots of trees. Right now, the land of Israel, when you go look at it, it looks fatigued. It looks tired. It's brown and sere much of the year. And yet, when Jesus returns, there will be a great reforestation campaign. And of course, the Jewish people in Israel now are trying. I can assure you, I live there. It's like Band-Aids. But there's going to be a great reforestation campaign, which we will be involved with. And we'll be planting trees. And you know, those trees, that's a renewable energy source. So we're talking about a sustainable environment. And it's going to be beautiful, lovely. And so young people, if you want to be interested in forest management or sustainable ecological development, God's interested in that too. Let's go back to Jeremiah 31. So yes, there will be lots of interesting jobs available, lots of fun. You'll be part of something bigger than yourself, something that you're building a model society for all of humanity. People will come from around the world, and they will marvel at the beauty and the joy that they will see in the mountain of God there in the Middle East. And we all can be a part of that, young and old. Jeremiah 31. I'll start in verse 10. Jeremiah 31, verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, declare it in the islands afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord. So singing and music will be there. Lots of good music and streaming to the goodness of the Lord. For wheat and new wine and oil, prosperity, no starvation, good balanced diets. For wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd, their souls will be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. Yes, there'll be dancing, young women and young men dancing, and the young men and the old together. Yes, even old men will be dancing. I will turn their mourning to joy and will comfort them, and will make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. What a wonderful time. After a time of trouble and shortages, there will be great physical abundance. Cities renewed, people will learn to drink responsibility, to eat good food in moderation. There'll be lots of opportunity to play good music. Young people will rejoice in dancing. And of course, remember the family dance tomorrow night at 7:30. Hope to see many of you there. In summary, in the coming kingdom of God, Jesus will ensure a safe and enjoyable environment for our children. Truth and character development will be taught in schools for all ages. Jesus himself and many other kind, inspiring teachers will be your guides. God has a plan for all of us to help all of us develop talents and useful abilities. Teens and young adults will have great jobs working to rebuild an entire society into a wonderful place to live. There will be an abundance of good food, good music, and joyful dancing. So who makes all this possible? Who makes all this possible? The Almighty God, the Savior, the Holy One of Israel, the Good Shepherd, our soon coming King, Jesus Christ does. This feast pictures a brilliant time of rejoicing for children, teens, young adults, and all mankind.